Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Tuesday, December 17th. I'm Ray Graff. Joining us this afternoon is physical therapist Matthew Goodemote. Matthew owns a practice in Saratoga Springs. He is in the studio to answer your questions about orthopedics and sports medicine. So if you have an injured or aching knee, a shoulder, an elbow, a back, give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also reach out via email at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Physical therapy, Matthew Goodemote, and your calls coming up on Vox Pop right after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Joining us today is physical therapist Matthew Goodemote. Matthew is the owner of Goodemote Physical Therapy in Saratoga Springs. His 20 years of experience includes exercise-based therapy and manual therapy. Matthew is one of just 350 specialists with his diploma from the McKenzie Spine Institute International. This year, Matthew founded PhysioFit Physical Therapy in Saratoga, Clifton Park, and Albany. It specializes in prevention, continuing PT care after insurances no longer authorize visits, and progressing patients beyond normal daily activities. If you have an ache or a pain and you think physical therapy might be the remedy, give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org, but the number is 800-348-2551. Matthew Goodemote, welcome back.
Thank you, Ray.
Happy holidays to you.
Yes, and you as well.
Well, I bet you this weather is a positive boon for people in your line of work.
Yes, we have business cards strategically placed around the town.
Shoveling. 2 weeks ago, we had that massive storm.
Yeah.
You see an uptick in customers?
Yeah, we do. And actually, it's a couple things. Obviously, the shoveling part, people sprain their back. But we also had some falls, some slips on the ice and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a 30-year-old woman that stepped on a little piece of ice, and she was coming for her knee, and then we ended up treating her for her back and her neck.
Ooh, so, that's terrible.
Yeah.
And I assume skiing also brings about
that's
this sort of thing.
Yes. In fact, my staff and I were down here in Albany. We were doing screenings for the OC Ski Club, where we just assess to see injury prevention type of things. So trying to figure out if they have weaknesses and
How do you do that? How do you assess weaknesses?
Well, there's a few ways. You can do a simple strength test where you just have somebody lay in their back. For example, they lift their leg and we try to push it down. But we do functional tests. So we'll have them do a squat, for example. And if you have somebody that has a weakness in the hip area, you'll sometimes see the knee caving in. And so it's a common thing, especially with younger athletes. But there's other ways too, a lunge and seeing if someone can do a lunge properly. A balance exercise, stepping up and over things. I personally like there's a couple different tests, like a step down test where you watch somebody control the movement going down a stair, or something like a plank or a bridge to see if they can stabilize their pelvis properly.
And this is all proactive. You're trying to prevent injuries.
Yeah, exactly. So that second practice we started, PhysioFit, we do injury prevention, and we're launching a program in January for osteoporosis and teaching people how to lift weights properly. And high school athletes, we're doing screenings for them. So, yeah.
Is there a wrong way to shovel? You ever get somebody in there with a bad back and say, well, you're doing it all wrong, sir?
Yeah, I mean, as a general rule, the more rounded your back is, the more susceptible you are to injuring it. So I have a little slogan, when in doubt, stick your butt out. And so it helps you to remember to keep your back straight.
It's a phrase that pays. Let's go to the phones, 800-348-2551. Steve in Schenectady. Steve, you're on.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Sure.
Hey, I had a question. I've actually got I just found out I have a ruptured or herniated disc in my lower back between L3 and L4.
Okay.
And my doctor is asking me to do some physical therapy to try and address the pain and the numbness that I'm experiencing.
Great.
But I find that the physical therapy seems to be making it worse.
Mm. Interesting. So there's a few things within what you just said there. So first of all, there's a big difference between a ruptured disc and a bulging or herniated disc. And if you're having symptoms in the leg, can I ask what part of the leg you're having the symptoms?
My left quad.
Okay.
It's a weakness. It collapses when I try and go upstairs and things.
Yeah, that would match perfectly with that problem at that disc level. So when physical therapy is being performed, or when you're performing your physical therapy, there are times during the movements that it would be uncomfortable to do, and that would still be in the realm of safety. I tell my patients that the most important thing to note is after you're done doing something. So for example, let's just throw out some numbers. Let's say you had a 3 out of 10 for symptoms, and you do your physical therapy and it goes to a 6 out of 10, but then within a half hour or so it's back down to a 3. That's perfectly normal and safe, and there's no harm there. And versus if you had a 3 out of 10 and then it went to a 4, and then 3 days later it's still a 4, I'm way more concerned about that, because it lasted for days where it elevated. And I tell my patients that with the spine, expect to be on a roller coaster. So you're going to go up and down, and the intensity of the pain is not a good barometer. So what is a better barometer is the strength in your thigh, and another barometer is the location of your symptoms. So if you have those thigh symptoms and you start to notice your thigh is feeling better, but your back isn't, that's actually a very positive sign. We call it centralization, and it's those type of people get better very quickly. But what I would do in the clinic is I would do some treatment, and then I'd retest your strength, and I would see if after doing the therapy your strength was improved in the thigh that's feeling weak, then I would say continue on. How's that?
Okay, so I'm not causing any more damage.
Yeah. Right, so pain that lasts is where I get nervous, and or because you have weakness in that thigh, if the weakness progresses, so again, you said it can collapse on a stairs. If you start noticing that happening all the time or it becomes worse, that is definitely going in the wrong direction. But it doesn't mean that therapy is causing it. It could be just a natural progression of the nerve. So I actually, as a physical therapist, my specialty is the spine. So I like to hold on people through that process and reassure them that the persistence of trying to get the pressure off the nerve root is worthwhile, because it's the thing that avoids the surgeon. So,
all right. Steve, thanks a lot for the call. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Physical therapy today on Vox Pop with Matthew Goodemote and Eliza in East Hampton. Eliza.
Hi there. I'm wondering if you could talk about how to prevent lymphedema after breast cancer surgery. I had breast cancer surgery. I went to a physical therapist beforehand. I found it really helpful to know about things that I shouldn't be doing physically and just ways to help my body and exercises to do. But I think that would be a helpful thing for a number of people to hear about.
Well, thank you. But before you do that, tell me what lymphedema is.
So lymphedema, especially specifically after breast cancer or breast surgery, is you have a backup of the lymph fluid, and it can cause some major swelling in the arm. Mm. So it's in the lymphatic system.
Okay.
So you'll get checked at your doctor for your lymph nodes.
Right.
So this is a specialty for physical therapists that specialize in lymphedema. This is way outside of my scope, so I wouldn't even pretend to be able to give great advice about this.
Okay.
It is something that she's 100% right, though. There are physical therapists out there, and this is their specialty. And anytime I have somebody that appears to have some type of lymphedema, I want them going there, because they know exactly what to do, when and why and how.
Okay. So. Well, Eliza, thank you for that. We appreciate it. Let's take a break here. Matthew Goodemote is our guest. Physical therapy on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551 is the number. We will be right back. It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here. Number is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Physical therapy today on the program with Matthew Goodemote. And Matt, this one came in via email from Anson. Anson writes, how do muscles grow while weight training? I refuse to believe the micro tear theory. What's the deal?
That's actually not a bad theory.
No?
So what happens is we damage the muscle and our body wants to lay down new tissue to repair the little injuries, and it causes hypertrophy or growth of the muscle.
Mm-hmm. So. Okay, so that's true.
Yeah.
All right, Anson, you have to believe it then. All right, let's go to line three and Jerry in Austerlitz. Jerry.
Hi. Yes, I've been suffering from some knee pain for about 3 weeks, and it basically manifests itself as it's very tender on the outside of the knee when you touch it, but it doesn't seem to bother me with walking or hiking or anything like that. I'm definitely not doing any kneeling on it, and I'm just curious. I've been taking some Advil and icing it, and I'm just curious as what would this be? Was this a IB band type injury or...
He doesn't like icing, Jerry, just so you know. He's not an icer.
Uh-oh, sorry. Uh-oh.
That's okay. So they're on the outside of the knee, is it only painful when you touch it, or do you have any type of...
Yes, it's only painful when I touch it.
Okay.
But don't touch it.
Okay, I haven't been doing that.
Yeah, so does it hurt at rest, or is literally the only time when you physically touch it?
Like when you physically touch it. At rest, it's not painful. It's... You know, you feel something there, but I mean, we just hiked all over Lisbon and Madrid, all those cobblestone streets last week, and it was fine.
Yeah. So the outer part of the leg, there are a few things. The IT band, it stands for iliotibial, so from the pelvis to the tibia or shin bone. So you have a big, long tendon that runs all the way down there, and one of the insertions is the outer part of the knee. It usually has some movement associated that would be painful as well. The fibula is the bone that's right down there, and that can be sensitive to touch. And then there's a whole bunch of muscles, your peroneal muscles, that attach up there. So without a specific movement, it's hard to be certain what it is, because, again, an IT band syndrome would typically come with some type of activity, movement, hiking, like you said, running, things like that. Be careful with things like ibuprofen for something like that. Number one, it's not great for your stomach to take. And if it's not a constant pain where you're noticing it at rest, then it's not something, you know, just to take the medicine for that sake. Ice would be actually a better case.
Really?
I know. I know.
Oh my gosh. Alert the media.
So ice numbs, and if there's no swelling or things around it. The reason I don't like ice is because people will use it for swelling purposes, and it's better used for pain purposes. For swelling, it's not the best strategy. So for this kind of...
So this is not an inflammation?
Nope. Because again, inflammation by definition would be 24 hours, 7 days a week. If there's an inflammation that's causing a pressure or pain on the tissue, it means that you feel it all the time, even at rest. That's why I asked about rest.
Okay, so the treatment would be just rest and...
Yep, ice it. And keep an eye on it, of course. And keep an eye on it. Yep, and palpate around the area. And if it does start to happen where it's bothering you on some type of activity, then the more specific you could get with the activity that's causing the irritation would make it easier to identify specifically what's causing it.
Okay, I think I did it by kneeling on and bending the leg very severely, and I think that sort of seemed to bring it on. But
yeah, and that would be more type like a bruise type of thing, which means it'll get better as the weeks go on, and ice is exactly what I would do for it.
All right, well, that is a very uncommon answer from Matthew Goodemont. By the way, before we get to the next call, you know, we did a lot of shoveling. We had 28 inches of snow by our house, and so my wife and I shoveled for two straight days. She had a terrible bad back.
Yes.
And we put Icy Hot. What does Icy Hot actually do?
Icy Hot is a counter irritant. It's similar to if you hit your thumb with a hammer and why you rub your thumb. So it distracts the brain.
It works.
Yeah.
It really
distracts the brain.
That's all it does?
Yeah.
It doesn't sink in?
It does not
things...
penetrate. It does not. It goes to the layer of the skin. So to get down into the layer of deep tissue, there is nothing topical other than a prescription medicine because that would infiltrate your blood system.
I'll tell you it works, though. I mean, she felt a lot better. Let's go to Nancy in Charlton. Nancy, you're on.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have a really bad habit of holding my shoulders up.
Okay.
And people often point this out to me. It causes me a lot of discomfort. Uh-huh. My neck is always tense and tight.
Yes.
But I can't seem to break this habit of relaxing my shoulders and dropping them down.
Yes.
And being in a relaxed posture.
So,
and I try to do exercises. I try to be cognizant of it. And I just can't seem to break this habit.
Yeah. So a lot of times when you're holding your body that way, it is a secondary thing, meaning there's some underlying pain that's going on, and that's why you're guarding in that posture. So it would be to try to address the underlying pain fully, and fully to me means 100% if possible. And so, for example, you had mentioned it bothers the neck. It could be because the neck is getting bothered that secondarily you're shrugging the shoulders up. So that would be on the physical end of things. There's other things you can do, though. Like one of the recommendations I have for the patients is every time you sit down, scoot your butt all the way to the back of the chair and physically sit back against the chair. And by doing that, what you do is you lean back a little bit, which causes your sternum, the breastbone, to lift up a little bit. And that posture allows the shoulders to go back. I have never found it helpful to try to force the posture, because what happens is the second you stop thinking about it, you go into your default, which is what you're describing.
Yes.
So the other thing, yes, I recommend is literally setting an alarm. And the reason for that is to just have that friendly reminder to correct your posture and readjust it. And by doing that, especially if you do it frequently, like every 30 minutes, you'll start to notice more and more your more ideal posture, so that when you start to slip out of it, you can train yourself back into it. And the last thing I'll say about it is it's often associated with stress. So this is the carrying the weight of the world on the back. And so it would be looking into, that's the underlying reason for why you're holding your posture that way. So addressing stress, and there's a whole bunch of ways you
can
do that.
So relax if you can.
Yeah.
All right, Nancy, yeah, thank you for the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. Don't you think, every 30 minutes you go for an alarm, you will annoy the daylights, yeah, out of everyone around you?
Yeah.
And you'll be more stressful.
You can do the electric shock ones, though, so it buzzes and
do you recommend that in the shop, Matthew?
No.
All right, back to the calls, 800-348-2551. Elizabeth in Cummington. Elizabeth, you're on.
Hello. I was wondering if there are any exercises you can do for jaw pain.
There's quite a bit you can do for the jaw. There's a few things in that question, though, for me. My specialty is the spine, and I've had patients who've come in with jaw pain that's actually a referral from their neck. And so you would want to specifically make sure that you're not having any neck issues. The jaw is a TMJ joint is what it's caused, and there's a whole series of movements that our jaw actually does. And you need to have it identified specifically as TMJ. For me, the diagnosis does not come just by, oh, my jaw hurts. There is typically some clicking and some popping and some difficulty moving the jaw in very specific ways. So, for example, one obvious one is just opening your mouth as wide as you can and to see, oh, it hurts more on my right side. And then you try to take the bottom of your jaw and move it as far to your left as you can, and you move it as far to your right as you can. And then you protrude your jaw out and you pull your jaw back in. Those are the basic movements of the jaw. And in that, you are trying to identify which specific movement bothers you. And once you identify that, then you can say, okay, this is where it's restricted. And that's then the exercises come to relieve that.
I see. But there are exercises that can
absolutely
help it.
Yeah. Yeah. You could just Google TMJ joint and then look for exercises for the jaw, and it would show you similar things that I just showed you. Told you.
Okay, thank you.
You're
thanks,
welcome.
Elizabeth. 800-348-2551 is our number. It's physical therapy today on Vox Pop. Matthew Goodemote is our guest. And Sam in Williamstown. Sam, you're on.
Hi there. My problem is that about 10 years ago, I fell on a sharp object and did a commutative fracture in my left femur. The surgeon put in a titanium rod from screwed into the knee and then connected up to the hip. And at the hip, there's a little angle piece of metal that goes in somewheres.
Wow.
And I went into, it's been paining me a little, particularly when I'm in at nighttime, when I'm trying to roll, stay on one side of my body, sleep, and I'll roll over and then that hip starts to hurt. I went into the surgeon and he x-rayed it and he said it looks fine, but you know, now you're getting older, you're going to have to put up with that kind of pain.
So this pain is new pain.
Yeah, it's new pain after about 8 years of no problems at all. I could feel even after, for years after the surgery, I could feel the sort of the ligaments clicking a little bit. over that bone, but okay. There's no pain at all. Now it's painful a little bit. Not to put me out of commission in any way, but right. It's just really annoying.
So there's a part of me that disagrees with what the doctor said. Now, it is true that as we get older, we do definitely have more aches and pains.
I'm
not denying that part.
No, that's true.
But what's unusual about it is I don't know that after something has healed like that, why that would suddenly start to hurt if the joint looked normal. So that would immediately lead me to the soft tissue around the leg, the hip, the pelvis. And I'm going to say this because this just happened to me literally today, and it's been bothering me. So,
oh, no.
So I had a patient that fractured both radial head bones, which is arm bones, your elbow bones. And she'd had difficulty gripping with her hands. And so because of that, I was so fixated on the fact that she had an injury to her wrist that I was missing that it might be coming from someplace else. Uh-huh. And I think this is one of those things that we do in medicine is because you've had an injury to the leg and you've had a fracture with all these metal things in there that we're assuming that's why this is suddenly starting to hurt. And the possibility exists that it has nothing to do with that because that healed 8 years ago and that this just coincidentally is on that same side.
But he feels the joint's clicking though, right?
But so the clicking is probably not a ligament either. It's probably the tendons and that's rubbing over something.
Yeah, and I don't think that is connected.
Yeah, and it's also that laying on that side part because the hip, when people describe the hip, the groin is your hip joint. So when people come into the office and they put their hand on their butt or on the outer part of their leg and say, my hip is hurting, I immediately think your back is hurting. So that part of you is not the hip joint. The hip joint is the groin, which would be into the thigh. So I would recommend having somebody evaluate to see soft tissue, what's happening with the muscles, what's happening with your spine. And it is possible that because you've had this injury, your gait was altered somehow, and that influenced some things, all of which are treatable and fixable and have nothing to do with you getting older. So it's not that I can say for certainty that it's not because you're getting older, because that may be right. He may have called it, but the possibility exists that it's something else and certainly worth pursuing and certainly worth trying to see what else it could be. So that would be my recommendation.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sam.
Welcome.
We appreciate it. And Matthew Goodemote is our guest today. 800-348-2551 is the number. And James in Warwick. James, you're on.
Yes, this is James Weatherstone. I have patellofemoral pain syndrome, which was diagnosed about 10 years ago. And it's been bothering me a lot lately. I've been going to an acupuncturist, but it doesn't seem to help.
Okay.
And I'm wondering, I can't seem to bend the knee beyond like 90 degrees without a lot of pain.
Right. So that's a classic thing that we would treat in physical therapy. And there's a few things for patellofemoral pain. One of them is that it typically leads to a weakness in your quadriceps, or you have a weakness in your quadriceps, and that's what's causing the pain. So that needs to be addressed, and it needs to be addressed with exercise specifically. Mm. And tendons, they don't like to be compressed. So meaning the more you bend your knee, the more agitated it will get. However, the long-term solution is to gradually get so you can bend your knee fully and restore your movement. It's just that if you try to do it rapidly, you may just keep it irritated. So my recommendation would be to strengthen the heck out of the thigh and then gradually, while simultaneously, restoring the range of motion so you can move the knee as the same as you could move the other knee. There should be no reason you can't bend your knee fully from patellofemoral syndrome. That's not a reason to restrict your full range of motion.
Oh, good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, James. Our number is 800-348-2551. Physical therapy on the program today. And let's see. Looks like line three. Bruce in Pine Bush. Bruce.
Hello.
Hello.
Just calling in. I have rheumatoid arthritis, my hands and knees. And I've been on all kinds of medicine and the Humira and all that stuff, which lowers your humane system. Whatever it is.
Okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
You know what I mean.
Yep.
Because I have COPD and I'm very susceptible to bronchitis, I had to get off of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I have been using this new stuff called Havarna.
Okay.
Have you?
No, I haven't heard of it. And the things I would do with rheumatoid arthritis, I'm not a familiar with all the different medications that a physician would prescribe for that. We would, in physical therapy, that one of the best places for rheumatoid arthritis would be in a warm therapy pool to do exercises. Yeah,
I just wanted to pass this on.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Bruce, your connection is pretty poor. It's a pretty bad phone connection, Bruce. You're in and out, but we got the message, and thank you. The number is 800-348-2551. You would go into a warm
therapy pool, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
How warm?
Well, I had a therapy pool, and ours was 96 degrees.
That's
so
hot. That qualifies as a hot therapy pool. And what does that do?
Well, the warmth is soothing, and it brings blood flow to the area, and the buoyancy of the water supports your joints. And so there's lots of good exercises you can do, and it tends to help people specifically with arthritis.
But once arthritis kicks in, you all you can do is manage it, right? You can't make it regress.
Right,
or can you?
Right. So you can overdo things and irritate and cause more inflammation. And arthritis can definitely be treated. So there's a difference between degeneration and arthritis. So arthritis means inflammation.
Yeah.
Degeneration is what everybody has. And so a lot of times people call arthritis, call degeneration arthritis. And one of the ways I would identify that is based on your symptoms. And so if you have, I have a big fat knuckle that no one out there can see. It's my middle finger too, so I'm flipping
Yes, there it is. Thanks for that. So, thank you.
It's from dislocating playing basketball. So I have degeneration in there, but I have no pain. So I wouldn't call that arthritis. I would call it degeneration.
Yeah, right.
And the key with joints is to move them. One of the most common mistakes people make is my joints hurt, so I stop moving them because I'm afraid I'm going to make them worse. And it's the exact opposite. Inactivity makes your joints worse. Right. Cartilage needs nutrition through movement.
Okay, let's go and take one more before we take our next break. And Kit in Monterey. Kit.
Hey there. I have another knee question too.
All right.
So every night I get this incredible pain in my knee, and I'm looking at my anatomy coloring book here, and it looks like it's in the medial epicondyle of the femur.
Okay. Hmm.
So, and it's only at night, and my knee functions perfectly during the day.
Great.
Full range of motion and everything.
Yep.
So what the heck?
My guess is you're lying on your side and your two knees are pressing against each other, and because you're sleeping, you don't notice it, and it's just the contact over time. And one easy test you could do to test out my theory is see if you can sleep with a pillow between your knees and see if your knee pain goes away.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds like good advice. Yeah.
All right, well, give it a shot.
If it's the only time you're having symptoms and it's waking you up at night, that's what I would go to.
All right, Kit, thanks a lot for that. Let's take a break here, Zach the engineer. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Matthew Goodemote is our guest. We'll be right back. Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff with you. It's 800-348-2551. If you want to call us, Matt Goodemote is our guest. It's physical therapy today. This email came in from Gabriella. Gabriella writes, I'm in constant back pain on the right side due to a herniated disc. Physical therapy has described it as the gel has pushed out of the disc and pressing against a nerve. PT has not helped much. And I'm not very good at doing my exercises, mostly because I don't see improvement.
Okay.
I stopped PT after 2 months. I'm now considering talking to a surgeon for help. Your thoughts? And that's from Gabriella.
My thoughts. So the disc model is actually the McKenzie model. So basically the disc fluid is like the consistency of toothpaste. So when you squeeze it on one side, it comes out the other side.
Okay.
So she has right-sided symptoms, which means the fluid has collected off to the right side. So during my training in McKenzie, one of the things that I learned is a movement called the press up, which is a backwards bend type of movement. But then once I went to the diploma program, I don't do it very much anymore because it's not as effective as other techniques.
Okay.
So what I would recommend is for her to lay on her painful side, bring the knees up towards the chest and take the top shoulder back. So she'd be laying on her right side and take the left shoulder backwards, knees are flexed up. And what that does is it compresses on the right side, and that should help to move the disc fluid there. Surgery is great when it's a nerve problem. If she's having just lower back pain, it's not a great option for a surgeon specifically. There are lots of things. There's manual therapy, so you can go to massage therapist, and sometimes the muscle tension is what's causing the constant pain, and you can get some relief there. Mm-hmm. And at our office, we would apply both principles to try to get the joint, the disc specifically, to move, and then doing manual therapy. And I'm always very optimistic because of the location of her symptoms. People get very impatient with the back because, A, it hurts, but also because it seems to take a while. And so people are used to, like, they, you know, roll their ankle and a few weeks later they're walking and off you go. The lumbar spine can take anywhere from, you know, 6 to 8 weeks up to 6 to 8 months. And in rare cases, it can go even longer.
Ouch.
So it's not a great solution for surgery. Our odds are really bad, especially when it's located just up in the back.
And in your experience, how many problems recur because people are just, they're sick and tired of doing the exercises?
Yeah, it is the top two or three things I say to patients after they're feeling better. Do what helped you feel better. Don't stop doing it. So the number one thing people do is they will stop once they feel good, and it will just return back, and they think, oh, I better do something different. They don't do the very thing that helped them feel better the first time. And then, you know, sometimes it does require a modification and whatnot, but it's if you found something that's helping, keep doing it as a daily warm-up, daily stretch, whatever. That's what I recommend.
Physical therapist Matthew Goodemote is our guest today. The number is 800-348-2551. Mitch in Cohoes. Mitch, you're up.
Hi. I'm going to turn 60 next month, and I have osteoarthritis in my neck, my right shoulder, yep, both hips, and my lower back. I had a hip replacement last year.
Oh.
And I used to do a lot of weightlifting.
Great.
I used to train for squat,
yep,
bench press, and deadlift. And I'd like to go back to lifting weights, but I don't want to do any exercises that are going to make things worse. So I'm just wondering what you suggest in terms of weightlifting exercise.
Well, all of those that you mentioned are great. And in fact, one of the things we do in our program is we take people from rehab and that PhysioFit business I told you about. We take people into the gym to go for those very exercises. The squat is one of my favorite things to do. But if you haven't been doing it in a while, then rather than putting a bar on your back, you can do what's called a goblet squat, where you would hold a weight or a kettlebell at your chest and start doing squats that way, and then progress your way up backwards to whatever type of squat you had been doing. Generally speaking, I don't have people go below the 90 degrees, so I wouldn't have you doing a full squat like they do in the Olympics. That's more just my preference. The bench press you have to be careful of, because you mentioned some issues with the shoulder. Pressing type movements, yeah, military press and bench press, can be problematic. Again, it's all about how you progress, though. So if you started off with some dumbbells and did the movement and gradually started increasing your weight, you could, in fact, get back to a regular bench press. Regarding the neck arthritis, the most important thing you can be doing is working on your posture and then working on the range of motion to maintain it. As I mentioned earlier, a lot of times when people get arthritis or degeneration, they stop moving because they're afraid they're going to make it worse, and that's actually what's making it worse. So movement is great for you. I would recommend lunges. I would recommend squats. I even teach deadlifts, so I would do all of that. Biceps, triceps, they're all fine. And lat pull downs and rows, those are all good for you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Mitch. Now to Bill in Brunswick. Bill, you're on.
Oh, thank you very much. Thanks for taking my call. I have two questions. The first of which is, I'd just like if Matthew could comment on the use of laser therapy for neuropathy. Neuropathy probably related to pre-diabetic condition. And my second question is if Matthew could comment on the use of gabapentin again to treat neuropathy.
So the first question about the laser therapy, my personal experience with any modalities for pre-diabetic neuropathies or diabetic neuropathies is it is absolutely worth trying. but I don't know how successful it will be. I don't think it's harmful in any way to try something like that. And obviously, if you get any improvement, it's worthwhile. So regarding the gabapentin, I tend to see that in my practice primarily for people who have had back issues, and specifically a neuropathy from the spine, in which there is a very strong percentage of people that benefit from it. But there, of course, are some people that get no relief at all from it. Regarding a diabetic type of neuropathy, I have no idea if that would be beneficial or not. That would be outside of my particular expertise, because I see more spine than I do diabetes type of problems. So.
Thank you. Thank you for your comments. Just as anecdotally, I have had a great deal of success with laser therapy.
Oh, good. Great.
And gabapentin, I think, is just terrible. It's
okay.
Garbage. All it does is make you sleep.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
All right, Bill, thank you very much for that. And now to Karen in Hadley. Karen.
Yes. I have two questions. One is about my knees, from which I can't rise from a deep bend without the support of, say, a nearby table or something.
Sure.
And I've had this for quite some time. I'm not quite sure exactly when I noticed it. But they're fine as far as ascending and descending stairs.
Yep.
And I tend to walk a lot, so
good.
I don't have problems walking. And the other area is more recently, a bus ran over my left foot.
Ouch.
And
wow.
It caught the four toes, the great toe and the ball of my foot.
Yep.
As well, I stabbed my finger as I was knocked to the curbstone.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering if is there anything I should be doing about my foot? Am I at risk for arthritis? And I have a closed fracture.
Okay.
I didn't tear anything.
Great. So the first question, the deep knee bend, that is a strength issue. And one of the things that I would teach at the office is I would start people on a basic chair squat. So just sitting down to a chair and standing up. And I would have you repeat that starting with like 5 or 10 repetitions every day and working up so you're able to do like 20 repetitions in a row. And then I would have you hold on to a light weight and do the same procedure. Once you're able to do that and, you know, be pretty competent at doing that, then I would have you stagger your steps. So put your one foot out in front of the other. And what that does is it forces you to use one leg at a time. And from there, you can start to find which leg is the weaker of the two, because that could be why it's difficult for you to get up. One of the legs may be hindering you. And then from there, I would take you over to a stairway and I would have you sit down on the stairs, because there you can drop down to the second step, for example, which would be about a 12-inch height. And so a chair, a regular chair, is 18 inches. And that would be a way to start to progress you into a lower squat position.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would go to the bottom step, which would be about 6 inches. But I would do that over the course of weeks. I certainly wouldn't try it today as an exercise. I would start high and work you on your way down. Regarding the foot, one of the things I recommend for the foot is to move the foot. So number one, just doing basic range of motion, curling your toes, trying to splay your toes, trying to pull your toes up, and then have you do a thing called yoga toe. Yoga toe is where you push your big toe down, lift the other four toes up, and then push the four toes down, lift the big toe up, and then I'd have you start balancing on one foot just to restore the strength and the muscles of the foot itself. As regarding whether you're at risk for arthritis, a fracture, especially a closed fracture of a bone, does not make you more susceptible to arthritis. Not using your foot makes you more susceptible to arthritis.
Okay.
So range of motion would be really good for you.
So should I be wearing shoes with a lot of room in the toe box?
Yeah, comfortable shoes. You certainly, I don't like shoes that are very narrow anyways, because they're not good for anybody's foot. So yes, having your some space for your toes would be a good idea.
All right, Karen, thank you very much. 800-348-2551. Matt Goodemoto is our guest. Tracy in Schenectady. Tracy, you're on.
Hi, I appreciate you taking my call. My son has had two ACL surgeries in the same leg, and he's 21 years old, and he's got real hamstring pain in the opposite leg.
Oh.
And his gait is completely off.
Yeah.
I mean, his gait is just, he looks like a 90-year-old man walking.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to figure out what to do to help him with this hamstring. He's doing stretching and that kind of thing, but he's just in a lot of pain, and I don't know if there's something topical or if there's a device or if acupuncture might be a way to go, but I really want to help them because it just looks miserable.
So regarding the hamstring, is it in the like a specific spot in the back of the leg, in the middle of the muscle, down by the knee, down by his butt? Where's it at for the hamstring?
I think it's in the middle.
Okay. So there's a few things. Number one, muscles need exercise. So this would be one of the most important things I could hopefully convey today. Muscles need exercise. So the way they get better is by exercising them. You mentioned a whole bunch of modalities, machines, acupuncture. Those are all good for pain, which is fine to do. But to get the muscle to rehabilitate back so it doesn't hurt again, specifically the hamstring, it needs a few things. It needs to have mobility to it. So one of the things we do in our clinic is we do manual therapy. So you'd do some work to see if you could find the specific spot that hurt. And sometimes just working the tissue around there is enough to alleviate the pain. So like a massage therapist,
like
physical therapist.
Yep. Okay.
And another thing you can do, he could do, is a thing called foam rolling, which is basically a self-massage. And then it would be starting to do some exercises. So strengthening type of exercises. There's one called a bridge where you lay on your back and you lift your butt up in the air. And to do the hamstrings, you just move your feet out. So he would lift up into a bridge and then start to walk his feet out as far as he can go and then walk them back. And it's a way to start working that muscle. And with time, that those combination of things will start the mending process. And it is 100% fixable at 21. That is not something he should have to deal with. He can definitely get help for that. No doubt about it.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And how do I reach your office?
It's a good time to do that. Sure, why not?
Our information's on the internet. So my last name is Goodemote, Goodemote. And then the letters PT. So goodemotept.com. And the other one is PhysioFit, and that's PhysioFit, and then the letters PT, PhysioFitPT.com.
And Tracy, if you forget all that, just go to our website, WAMC.org, and on the Vox Pop page, you'll find links to Matthew's sites.
Thank you, Ray.
Okay, have a good one. 800-348-2551 is the number. Carol in Amherst. Carol.
Hello. I'm calling because I have a kyphoid. And also scoliosis.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if, because you're interested in backs, if you have any comments or treatments that you can suggest. I'm pretty old, so I'm not sure. We'll see what happens here.
Okay.
I know the feeling.
It's a kyphosis, and a kyphosis is the rounding of the back, and usually it's specifically the thoracic spine. And then a scoliosis is a curvature of the spine. And the combination of the two is restrictive of movement. And the biggest issue is going to be it's going to be around the lungs. So doing exercises, and specifically range of motion exercises for the spine, would be very, very beneficial. And so one of the more complicated things that happens as we age and you have a kyphosis and a scoliosis is gravity starts to win the battle. And it starts to make a more kyphotic back and a more scoliotic back. Ugh. And as a result of that, the restrictions in the spine start to inhibit your lungs. And so you become susceptible to all the things that go along with your lungs. So breathing, of course. And it also can make you susceptible to like things like pneumonia. So this would be something I would absolutely recommend you go to a physical therapist to learn exercises, because there's quite a few exercises you can do for your spine that would be beneficial for you, no matter the age. The oldest patient I ever treated with a problem was 96.
Wow.
So I absolutely recommend.
Did that person live to 97?
Yes.
Oh, good.
You know what she said to me, too? I don't have much time, so we better hurry this up.
Well, Carol, thank you and good luck. We appreciate it. Quickly over to Mark in Greenwich. Mark.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've played pickup basketball most of my life. Quit for about 4 or 5 years.
Oof.
And started it again about a year ago.
Yeah.
And I play once a week, and both of my Achilles heels hurt
until the next time I play. So like for the, I can almost not walk real well on Monday morning, and then they're just sore all week long. Give me some advice.
So the first thing is be careful. So the number one thing someone your age can suffer is an Achilles tear.
Yikes.
And if you tear both of them, that would be catastrophic. So some of what's happening, I'm guessing, Mark, is that during the week, you're wearing sneakers and or shoes that have a slight lift to them. Basketball sneakers don't have much of one. And so your foot has been in this position for a couple years, and then you go out and try to play basketball, and the Achilles has not been used that way in a long time. So I would really proceed cautiously with it and make sure you're warmed up. It is very important after the age of 30 that you make sure you have a warm-up. Don't just go and play. Regarding specifically what you should do, you should invest in a foam roller today and start foam rolling your calves now, all the way until you play this weekend.
Really?
And keep the tissues as mobile as you can. This is one of those areas where I would do the manual therapy in the clinic, and I would have somebody doing foam rolling, and then I would start some basic strengthening exercises, so those typical calf raises that people know how to do. But what you would want to do is start off with the easy ones, which are the isometrics. So you would just basically lift up and hold, but you have to do it with your knees straight and your knees bent, because the Achilles is made up of two muscles, your gastroc and your soleus, and so both are important. And then after that, I would have you on the step where you raise up on your toe and real slowly lower your heels down the edge of off the edge, so you're getting a stretch while simultaneously contracting the muscle. And I would have you doing that at least three times a week leading up to the games.
Well, Matthew Goodemote, I appreciate you coming down and being behind three plows on the way, and you made it here on time. So thanks very much.
You're
support
welcome.
Comes from State Street Fruit Store, Deli Wines and Spirits, downtown Northampton, a locally owned, community-minded grocery and specialty food store since 1922. Wine tastings every Friday, 4 to 7, statestreetfruit.com. Vision XL Eye Care, Lake Katrine. Exams, eye care, dry eye therapy, and now new American-made frames, where eyewear is an art, visionxlicare.com. And Bergeron Electrical Services, for over 30 years, providing the Pioneer Valley and Western Massachusetts with all electrical services, interior and exterior lighting, generator installation, and more. BergeronElectrical.net. Once again, thanks to physical therapist Matthew Goodemote for being with us today. Thank you for listening. Sorry, we left so many people on the line. I apologize, but there's only so much time in a show. We'll get you next time. Matthew will be back. Thanks to our engineer, Zach Malloy. Phones answered by Kayleen White. And our producer is Jimmy the Hammer Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. I think we have hearings tomorrow. We might have a show. We might not. I know this. Stand by for the book show.